Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560, with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado. Closing out the month of August here. Kevin Flesh joins us in studio. Flesh Law, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I've worked a week this week, well, other than fishing.
Except for fishing for the show. 6 of the 7 days of the week.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also, we are glad to welcome Kevin's wife, Janet, in studio.
Thanks, Scott. I'm very good. Thank you, Scott.
Good to have you.
Janet's sore from fishing.
Yeah.
She's not quite, she doesn't have that regular involvement with the jigging of a pound weight at a time.
This is true. I need to do a little more practice, I guess.
Yes.
It is amazing when you're pulling up fish, and we're going to talk about this. We were at Sportsman's Cove Lodge out of Ketchikan this last week. Had a great trip, and we're going to tell you a little bit about that. But, you know, when you're reeling up 200-300 feet and you have no idea, it is amazing. For those of us that don't fish a lot, especially at 300 feet.
Yes. No, it is.
You know,
it's a lot.
Reeling and, yep, and doing everything and the timing of it and just knowing all the different strategies and
yes,
techniques and all that. It's
yes,
it's a fun time.
Slack is the problem, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of slack and those fish take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to start the show with this because this is kind of some breaking news. Most of you know we did Initiative 302. We got the required amount of signatures. It came out that it was going to be Amendment 84. We've done a lot of posts on that. And when I say we, a lot of people in the outdoor world, we found out it's going to be, we think, Initiative 83 now. There was a Initiative 175 that had something to do with roadways or something that did not make it. So then that kicked us back to Amendment 83. We're still waiting for that to be certified by the Secretary of State. But if you've been seeing 84, ignore that. We think it is going to be 83. And as soon as we get confirmation on that, we will let you know. Well, as I mentioned, we just returned from a Ketchikan area there, Prince of Wales Island area, with Sportsman's Cove Lodge. They will be at our 2027 Mile High Hunt and Fish Expo in about the third week of March again. And Kevin joined his wife, Janet, friend of ours, David Fields. And David's in Orlando, and we're going to get David on another time. But overall, Kevin, you're I'll tell you what, let's start with Janet.
Yeah,
right,
ladies
let's start
first.
With Janet. Janet,
she's had several different experiences now with us.
Yes, yeah, yeah. We've taken her on self-guided.
Yep.
Thing,
and then Pibus Point
Pibus
was a sponsor
Point.
One year that we went with
yes,
them.
Yes Bay.
Yes Bay, yep. And now
Sportsman's Cove.
Sportsman's Cove.
Yeah.
Well,
so from a woman's perspective, let us know.
From a woman's perspective, not a fisherperson's perspective. Well, it was a fantastic week.
You had some opinions about fishing, too. So
yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead.
It was a fantastic week. Sportsman's Cove is an absolutely beautiful location. Mm. The lodge was lovely. The rooms were very comfortable, clean, which I always appreciate. Beautiful views out the window with a nice deck outside. You could sit out there after a day of fishing and enjoy the view. Loved that.
Good bartender.
The bartender was excellent. Yes, I was good friends with the bartender.
Yes.
I would say the staff, very accommodating, really went out of their way to do whatever they could to provide us what we needed, above and beyond what they provided. They were always there, willing to offer anything we needed. And then the boats, I thought the boats were very comfortable. They were clean. Again, I mean, as clean as a fishing boat can be, right? But like when we got on in the morning, it was definitely clean.
Yeah.
Had
a head.
And yes, yes, it had a head, a bathroom, which coming from someone who has had to use a bucket a fair amount of times on boats, I truly appreciated the fact that there was actually, you know, a little room with a door.
Yes.
And a toilet. That was actually really nice. And, you know, we had Captain Micah and our deckhand Jack. And that was great. It's so nice, at least speaking from someone who doesn't do a lot of fishing, to have someone there to assist, you know, with untangling the line, which happened about every second or third drop with me, or always rebaiting the hook, which happened a fair amount with me. You know, I'd pull up the line and have no bait, no fish on the end, and also no bait. And I would say, and then just obviously when you did actually get a catch, sort of talking you through it, I mean, the guy, Kevin didn't need that, of course. Scott didn't really need it. But I definitely needed sort of the direction of, you know, keep tension on the line, keep reeling, let him play. You know, that kind of thing was extremely helpful for me. And then being right there to net the fish. So, I mean, we never got a fish to the up to the boat that they didn't net.
Right.
Successfully. So that was really great for me too. So I appreciated all of that.
Yeah. I think that, you know, we have been to several different places, and I think Janet's, the last place that we were at where it was self-guided. So it was again, the same crew, but no deckhand and no captain other than
Kevin Flesh.
Other than the folks
Captain
that were there.
Kevin.
So Janet really likes the captains and the deckhands.
Well, it's nice because I felt like I wasn't taking away from you all.
Sure.
You know, you didn't have to stop your fishing to help me get my line untangled or get the
And we have done some where there was just a captain.
Yep.
So he is running around to several rods. It was nice having that extra
super
deckhand.
Nice. Yeah, super nice to have that second set of hands. And we got in, I mean, we've got to tell the story where it was, I think it was Lynn's fish that he had a king or something on that took off, and we all had to run around the boat. I mean, we literally ran. This is so we should probably describe the boat. It's a 26 or 30 foot big deep ocean boat. You know, it's got a cab in the inside that can seat six, a helm, a head, a good sized table, and then it has a walkway all around it that isn't that wide in places. And we had, as a group, to go around. Because we had a salmon rodeo at one point that we all had eventually fish on and a whole bunch of tangles. And so it's helpful to have two people to really help out in those situations. And a net in the front of the boat and a net in the back. And so important. You know, and we saw whales. We did see
a mountain, literally, of sea lions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they were covering.
Yes, they were.
How many do you think there were?
I have no idea. There were hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Big, giant, elephant, sea lions or something like that?
Man,
they were big animals.
That's one of the things that I really enjoy about fishing in Alaska is that it's not, for me anyway, it's not just about the fishing. It's like being able to experience the nature, to be out there and really see the beauty of the landscape, but also to see the whales. We saw a big pod of orcas one day.
Yeah.
We had a huge humpback that breached right off the boat. Mm. I mean, it was amazing. And then all those sea lions, that was fun.
We didn't see as many sea otters this trip, but normally we see a bunch of sea otters too. We just didn't see them this time.
Very true. Very true.
A bear, very close.
Yeah, friendly bear in camp.
Sort of say at the lodge.
Yeah, at the lodge. Janet's got a real nice picture where it was trying to go to breakfast with her.
He wasn't scary though. He was cute.
Yeah. But still, I mean, your wildlife's right there.
Yeah, exactly. Check them out at sportsmanslodge.com. And they're going to be at our Mile High Hunt and Fish Expo. And if you need more information, of course, you can get in touch with me and always give out our sales, 720-201-8585. And so, gentlemen, I would say, I mean, I took a buddy went with me, so that was kind of a God thing.
Yep.
And then Kevin took Janet and stuff. So we want to bring perspectives from, you know, being a God trip or being a couples trip.
Yeah.
And I think both of you would agree.
It could be either.
There was a lot of couples.
Yeah, there were.
First of all.
Yes, there were. There were other couples, which is sometimes not as common.
Yeah.
And Kevin mentioned we had in addition to the four of us on our boat, we had another couple, Lynn and Lori from Seattle area. And yeah, it's just fun to get to know other folks, and they had a great time as well. I think it is a nice way. There's a lot of hunting and fishing adventures that Kevin goes on that I'm not necessarily remotely interested in joining him on, but something like this is really fun, and I love being able to share that with him.
And I think the fact that there were other couples and other women at the lodge does add another dimension, a positive dimension for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And even on
100%.
And even on the boat.
Elevates the experience for everyone.
And I'm sure even having Lori on the boat with you.
Boat with me was fun. Yeah, we chitty-chatted. We may have had a few mimosas the last day. Yeah, it was fun.
It definitely is something where I think, like you said, there are certainly places that we have been and things that we have done, you and Scott and I, where Janet's like, I do not want to have any part of that just because of what we're doing. But this is, and as many times as we've gone, I think I've gotten sort of blasé about you when we were shooting trap off the dock the one night, and you have this just gorgeous background that you're just looking at because we had a beautiful evening. The weather was perfect the last 2 days, and you don't get that view anywhere else. I mean, it is incredible. It's like one of your prettiest views in Colorado, that you're standing on this giant lake, and then sort of on steroids with the mountains, because it's just so dramatic because you're right at sea level.
And if you're ever planning to go and you look at the weather and it says 50% chance of rain the whole time you're there, don't let that freak you out. We had a couple of cloudy days, our first couple of days. The last 2 days, dude, it was picture blue sky.
Blue sky, perfect. Yep. Not much wind. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about the travel aspect of it, because that's always something when you're traveling.
Sure.
This is a little bit easier when you go from here to Seattle to Ketchikan. And we, depending on how where you live and you're hearing this, I guess, and what flights you use, but we were able to just to fly in the same day, not have to spend a night in a hotel there, you know, like in Juneau or Ketchikan, wherever you may go, to these fishing camps, but got to go directly in, then did spend the night on the way back. We actually fished that morning.
Yeah, most of the day.
Yeah, most of the day, actually. Yeah. And then, you know, so it was four really good full days of fishing. And then you spend the night there and jump back. And
yeah, we actually had our best, I think, halibut day that last day, in the sense of numbers of fish and bites.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a really productive day, and then able to get back on that. And the float plane, we got to talk about the float plane. Janet's now a co-pilot.
Yeah. I love the float planes going in and out and coming back. I got to sit up front with the pilot, so that's really exciting because you get the full view, the full experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. And you're listening to Sportsman Colorado. Tell you what, we're going to hit a quick break. More right after this about Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Are you in the market for a new firearm, or maybe looking to purchase your very first firearm? Well, wouldn't it be great to have an experience worth telling your friends and family about while making such an important purchase? At Bighorn Firearms, we know how important that is, and it's our mission to provide this experience to every customer that walks through our front door. Hi, I'm Ryan, owner of Bighorn Firearms, located in Southeast Denver, and my team and I are customers too. We know what it's like to experience the typical specialty store attitude, and we believe everyone deserves a first-class experience when purchasing a firearm. If you're searching for friendly service, a knowledgeable and passionate staff, and a great selection of firearms, we'd like to invite you to Denver's best independent gun store, Bighorn Firearms, 1 mile east of Evans and I-25. Whether it's your first gun or you've been collecting for years, our friendly and knowledgeable staff are passionate about answering all of your questions. Service and selection is our commitment to you. That's Bighorn Firearms, located at 2175 South Jasmine Street, Suite 105, Denver. Call us now, 303-758-9423, or shop online, bighornusa.com.
With the weather heating up and summer plans in place, make sure your pets are ready for the season, too, with the caring team at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and whether it's for a checkup, vaccinations, parasite prevention, allergy care, dental services, or surgical needs, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is ready to help your pet stay healthy and active all summer long. Planning a vacation? Their professional boarding services make it easy, and you'll know your pets are being cared for by people you can trust. And if your dog or cat needs a little freshening up, their professional groomers will help your pet look and feel its very best. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, no matter what your pet needs, they've got you covered. Privately owned for 25 years, they are certified by the American Animal Hospital Association with its highest rankings and hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call today, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050 to schedule your pet's next visit. Check out their website at LoneTreeVet.com. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. It's the place where my pets go.
When it comes to protecting what matters most, trust the best. For over 36 years, Liberty Safe has proudly been America's number one safe manufacturer. Built with American ingenuity and unmatched attention to detail, Liberty Safes are designed to protect your firearms, safeguard important documents, and preserve your most cherished valuables. And here in Colorado, your trusted source is Colorado Safes. With two convenient locations in Wheat Ridge and Colorado Springs, Colorado Safes offers the security solutions you need and the peace of mind you deserve. Stop by Colorado Safes today and protect what matters most. ColoradoSafes.com.
Looking for great deals on hunting, fishing, camping, or shooting gear? Then make your next stop the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hamden in Sheridan. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and listen, whether you're buying or selling, you'll find quality new and pre-owned outdoor gear for hunting, fishing, and camping at prices that you won't believe. From firearms and optics to fishing tackle, camping gear, and more, there's always something new to discover. Stop by the Outdoorsman's Attic and see why Colorado sportsmen keep coming back. Tell Billy Scott sent you, and you'll get the Sportsman of Colorado Radio discount on all hunting and fishing gear, excluding firearms. Colorado's largest consignment store for the outdoors. It's the Outdoorsman's Attic, where the outdoors begins and the adventure continues.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride the trails. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Need new glasses fast? With Stack Optical's on-site lab, you'll get your prescription glasses in just 3 to 4 days. No long wait times. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I've trusted my eye care to Allen Stack and Stack Optical for the last 15 years. Eye exams are only $69, and that should be a part of your physical checkups each year. For over 50 years, Denver has trusted this family-owned boutique eye care center for premium vision care, custom eyewear, and expert repairs. See the Stack Optical difference today. Call 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. And tell them Scott sent you. Stack Optical. Since 1968, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
AM 560, KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. Again, my name is Scott Watley, alongside our co-host, when his time allows, Kevin Flesch, and also glad to have his wife, Janet, with us in studio. If you're just getting in the car or turn on the radio, we just returned from Ketchikan, Alaska area there, Prince of Wales Island, fishing with our friends at Sportsman's Cove Lodge, and we're just kind of telling you all about that. I will say, if you've never done that, taking a fishing trip to Alaska, you need to.
Yep.
It is just... it is a great experience. And even, again, especially guided things, folks, I'm telling you, there's people that go there that don't know which end of the rod to hold. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yep. I mean, all experiences, all levels, they help you with everything. And it is just beautiful, beautiful to be in Alaska.
To the point where you don't have to show up with any rain gear. You know, they'll give you the boots, the pants, the jacket, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And everything is outfitted with the latest gear. They know what's going on with the bite and what to use. Everybody has a little bit different. We did a little different setup this year. We did mooching, which is different. Mm-hmm. We've trolled before, bottom bounced for halibut. But this, the mooching was nice because we didn't troll much. We did a little trolling. But we did, basically, it's where you run these herring. It's a cut bait on a weight, and you run those down, you know, whatever depth you need or wherever you see the fish, and then you sort of reel them up slowly and then stop and reel them up, and it's a different way of doing it. But you're doing something instead of having everybody sitting around watching four rods that are being trolled in the back and waiting for a bite. So that's fun. That was a fun way to fish.
Let's kind of talk about the schedule of the day, what people can expect.
Yeah.
Well, we'd start out in the morning. Breakfast was at 5:30.
People were there even before then.
Yes. And
hot breakfast.
Hot sit down, hot breakfast.
Good bacon.
And yes, excellent bacon. And then they had an area set up for us to go pack our own lunches to take out on the boat. So they had, a full spread of everything you could want, make your own sandwiches. And then you would pack it up and put it in your boat's bin, except maybe one day when Scott accidentally put his lunch in a different boat's bin.
Read the name of the bin.
So we had
to feed my sandwich?
We had to feed him out of our lunches for Scott.
I appreciate that.
And then we'd be on the boat between 6 and 6:30, head out, and we'd fish all morning. You could just eat whenever you wanted to. We'd typically sort of eat throughout the day.
Yeah, kind of grazing.
Because when you have breakfast at 5:30, by the time it's whatever, 10, you're ready for a snack.
You have two lunches during the day.
Two lunches during the day. And then we'd head back around, we'd be back at the lodge about 4.
Mm. Yeah.
And they would unload the fish, and we'd have our photo op out on the dock with all of our fish. They had a really nice area with a sign, and they'd hang the fish up and everything, and that was great. And you could do individual shots with fish if you wanted to. And then we'd have a little bit of then we had a little happy hour
right
there. They had a beautiful sort of outdoor deck area with the bar, and they'd have hot appetizers and beverages, and so you could kind of hang out there for a bit and relax.
It wasn't trail mix and pretzels. Fish and chips.
Yeah, chips, stuffed mushrooms,
jalapeno peppers.
They had the
bacon
poppers.
Fish
and chips were really good the one night. What else? We had some dip
and some really good
chips that they made.
Really nice. And that was a nice chance to get to talk to the other folks on the boats and just hear about their day and what they caught, and everybody do a little bit of their fish stories, and that was fun. And then you'd have a little time to clean up before dinner at 6. Full sit down dinner again, very nice. And you'd sit at the table with your boat and your captain,
right,
which is really nice that the captains join, because that doesn't always happen at some of the other lodges. And so it was fun to hear the captain's stories.
And ours had some.
Ours had a lot of stories. And then, you'd finish up dinner, and they'd, at this lodge, it was really fun. They'd kind of have some awards, like the big fish of the day. And they'd present
mugs
to the people that had big fish of the day. We had a seat.
So they would go through the species of different fish.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then even the smallest fish of the day.
They have the smallest fish of the day. Kevin was a contender for that one
but he didn't. I thought I was going to get it.
Didn't get it.
Wasn't small enough.
I don't think the four of us got a mug, but
no,
but Lynn and Lori are
multi-mug days.
Right. They were bringing in the mugs. They have a full mug collection, I think. And then, and then you could just relax in the evening. Usually we were so exhausted, we were about ready for bed.
Yeah.
But, one night we had skeet shooting out on the dock.
Right.
That was super fun. You could go kayaking if you wanted. Hang out. Oh, they had a really nice hot tub.
Yeah, the wood-fired hot tub.
Wood-fired hot tub.
Bear watching right off the dock there.
to see if he's coming down the dock.
So it was a great day, It was really well-paced, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of opportunity for socializing and relaxing, after the fishing.
And the fishing was good. I mean, it was interesting. We've been to other places where it seems like as your trip goes along, sometimes the days get a little shorter and shorter each day. We've had that happen, which was not necessarily the coolest thing here. Mm-hmm. They fished right up until the end, and the captain was great about trying to find. I think they talk after the day and try to figure out where, especially the salmon and where they've been hanging out, because there were some commercial fishermen around. So our captains really had to do a good job of trying to figure out where the salmon would be the next day. So we made a few runs,
right?
But that was really helpful because the places that we went ended up being really, right. really good.
Yeah, our probably our strangest, and I'm not saying this because I ended up catching this ling cod, but we had David, our buddy, had a ling cod that was about, 35 inches?
Yep,
35
just under the
inches.
Slot,
so,
34,
I mean, big fish.
Yeah, nice fish.
And he gets it up next to the boat. Then all of a sudden, this monster ling cod comes up, 50 inches.
Yeah, tries to eat that 34-incher.
Trying to eat the 34-incher. Wow. So we were able to get another rod down. And
you got another rod down and got him in front of
the boat.
Yeah.
But that sucker was huge.
Oh, my
gosh. If you're on social media, go to Sportsman of Colorado Facebook page. You'll see a picture. But the head on that thing.
Yeah.
And then you caught.
Yeah, we caught a 44-incher,
which was a monster.
Yeah, it was a heavy fish.
Yeah.
They're eating machines. I mean, they were giants.
Yeah, absolutely.
So fun.
Well, Janet, you were a trooper. You just...
Thanks.
Go along with everything. Great. It was great to have you.
And just remind Kevin of that all
the
time.
We were jealous. Yes. We kept looking back here. Janet's got another one.
Yeah, Janet's
women
got another
one. Women can fish, can't they?
Yes, they can.
Just you watch Lori. Yes. She was catching fish back there.
She was
on fire.
Janet's
on fire
that day. We were catching halibut. She must have caught 5 or 6 halibut.
Oh, yeah. She did at least. Yeah. And you caught the day that we were catching the yellow eye. You were catching yellow eye like crazy.
I did catch a yellow eye.
Yeah, a bunch of yellow eye.
Cool fish.
Yes.
Absolutely. Great trip, sportsmanscovelodge.com. Again, get in touch with it if you want some more information. And they will be at our 2027 Mile High Hunt and Fish Expo a little later in March next year. So, guys, thank you. This was fun.
Thank
you. Thank
you.
We're planning 2027 now.
Yeah, my fishing buddies.
Yep. Hey, we got to take another break. More Sportsman of Colorado coming right back. For over 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx Maps to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of more than 400 countrywide maps that give clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Boone and Crockett Club, and Eastman's. Whether it's on your smartphone or handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt. Go to the App Store or onyxmaps.com.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you've been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about 6 people that you don't know. Those 6 people view the evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one who's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals whom you don't know and were witnesses to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886.
Here's your Water Talk Minute with Paul the Waterman, brought to you by Water Pros.
So one of the things that we've learned, and you can check this out factually, information for yourself by going to the EPA.gov. The EPA has a laundry list of unregulated contaminants. And what that means, folks, is that your municipality does not have to test for these contaminants. And so they're not reported in your NLE water quality report. This is something that has to change. We have a false sense of security about the quality of our drinking water, from pharmaceuticals to the levels of PFAS and Gen X chemicals, which was recently removed from the EPA contamination list. And for example, there's a contaminant on the unregulated list called 1,4-dioxin. 1,4-dioxin has been in our water supply since the early 1900s. Check out my podcast on Spotify, Paul the Waterman, or waterpros.net.
They're the first on call and the first on scene. But did you know the suicide rate for first responders is 1.5 times higher than the general public?
At Hometown Hero Outdoors, we help to provide healing for veterans, law enforcement, and first responders by creating memorable outdoor experiences designed to focus on camaraderie and mental health. Our mission is to serve those who have served us. Help us make a difference. To join Hometown Hero Outdoors or to help by donating, visit hometownherooutdoors.org.
Sportsman of Colorado Radio is brought to you by the Colorado Wildlife Council. The council works to educate the public on the importance of scientific wildlife management, conservation, and the benefits of wildlife-related recreational opportunities, specifically hunting and fishing. For the hunter and angler community, this educational mission is vital. It empowers us to become effective advocates for the wildlife and outdoor traditions we value. Their mission is to ensure that Colorado's wildlife is preserved for future generations through public education. Learn more about their work and how it supports your role as an advocate at cowildlifecouncil.org. We thank the Colorado Wildlife Council for their support of Sportsman of Colorado Radio.
You're listening to AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to the show. Glad to have our good friend Ryan Resch back with us. It's Big Horn Firearms, 2175 South Jasmine. And over here at the store, actually, recording today's show. And Ryan, it's first of all, good to see you. How are you?
You too, man. I'm doing good.
You look like you've survived the last month.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good, all things considered.
Right.
It's taken a little bit of time to get back into a normal rhythm of sales and doing back-end stuff and getting the shop cleaned up and organized because it was pretty chaotic
that
there.
Last week was insane, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, really, I would say it was the entire month of July, right before 4th of July holiday is when it really started to kind of ramp up with everybody who decided to wait to the last minute.
Right.
So It was a wild time, you know, people calling in last minute looking for things that were impossible to get, and people just buying whatever we had available. So, I mean, as we were selling stuff, we were restocking, and that stuff was coming in and going out same day. So,
where a lot of people had ordered stuff online, too, and coming through the store, and you had to go through all that?
Yeah, there was a, I would say above average amount of that going on, but I'd say we were probably seeing, mostly people buying from us during that time, which was nice. There was a lot of like, well, you know, you can buy it online, but if it doesn't get here in time or you got travel plans and that sort of thing. So, you know, the recommendation from us was like,
better get it.
Yeah, we've got stuff now, so come see what we've got before you decide to go down that road because, you know, you may be kind of rolling the dice on taking possession before the cutoff on August 1st. So, it was good. We maintained everybody, showed up to work every day and we kind of knew what was ahead of us and we made the best of it. And, there's going to be a lot of people now that need all the accessories and doodads. We sold a lot of strip lowers and I know we weren't the only ones. So, we're pretty well stocked up on all the other stuff everybody needs to complete their guns that they purchased and actually get on the range and start training.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. We're going to get into, again, all the different steps here in just a minute, but let's talk a minute about what's not restricted because there's so much misinformation out there, and that's why we're going to break down this step by step here in just a minute. But you can still buy a lot of guns as normal, correct?
Yeah. I would say the biggest misconception right now that we're still hearing from customers is they think handguns are restricted. Now, there are very few handguns that actually fall under the under the new law that are restricted. And I say few, there's, really probably about a handful that are actually gas operated handguns. And that would be the only restriction. There's a few name by name on the SSF guidance that was put out by Department of Revenue, Firearms Dealer Division.
Right.
I think there was two on there by name. And then, anything that falls within the definition, if you're clear on what that is, it's basically a gas-operated semi-automatic firearm that takes a detachable magazine. So, you know, very few handguns actually fall under that definition. So Glocks, Springfields, 2011 Staccatos, you know, you name it, Smith & Wessons, Berettas, all that stuff. None, mm-hmm. none of that is restricted at all. So I know that a lot of people are still under the impression that those are affected by this, and they're not. Mm-hmm. So still lots of stuff, you know. And then you also got bolt-action guns, lever guns, most shotguns, unless they're a semi-automatic gas gun that takes a detachable magazine. And right. there's really not many shotguns yeah. out there that right, fall right. under that classification. There are a few. One of the main lines we do sell, you know, the Genesis Arms are mm-hmm. affected by it. But, you know, the process of getting the license is, it seems complicated and it's a little confusing because it's kind of backwards compared to what everybody's used to, where you have to get approved to take a class. You're not taking a class and then submitting an application. It's right. submitting an application to take the class. So that really throws people off. The process really isn't that complicated, though. And we do have a step-by-step guide on our website that people can access with clickable links. So, and then if you're still confused about it, just come in and see us.
Sure.
We'll walk you through it. But, yeah, lots of stuff still available. Suppressors, not right. affected, you know. If you've been waiting to buy a suppressor, now's a great time. You know, we're seeing really quick turnarounds on those.
And there was a recent law change that have helped a lot of other states, not necessarily Colorado.
Yeah. Colorado, we're still following the same procedures right. before that ruling. I don't know the name of the ruling off the top of my head, but, you know, there are a number of plaintiffs, and in certain states, if you fall within the scope of the ruling, the plaintiffs listed in the ruling, then you could essentially take possession on a 4473.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because in Colorado, you got to wait 3 days for a background check but to take possession of your mm-hmm. firearm on a 4473. NFA isn't affected by that.
Right.
So, you know, you can still do the Form 4 here. And in most cases, and in a lot of cases, take possession in less than 3 days. Mm-hmm. So, man, it's... They've got us really confused. I think they did a good job at that, and that's kind of slowed people down. But, you know, we have all the information you need to move forward on your next purchase, whether it be an SSF or anything else that, you know, falls within the scope of legal ownership.
Yeah.
So I think the big thing is just, like, jump in your car, jump on I-25 or ILIF and... or Evans, and head on over here.
Absolutely.
And let's talk about it at the counter. We'll offer you a cold soda, maybe a water if that's your thing. And, you know, we'll spend some time just kind of talking about what the future mm-hmm. of gun purchasing looks like in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, you know, when all this came about, I mean, you were saying, hey, we're going to do everything we can to make this as easy for our customers. And, man, mm-hmm. you were doing a lot of research and different things of what to do, and like I say, I think you got it spelled out good, so I think it'll help people. So we're going to run through some things now, and it really all starts with this: hunter safety. Do you have your, and I'll say Colorado hunter safety, and we're going to clarify that in a minute, do you have a hunter safety card? If you have that, you're ahead of the game. If you don't, that may seem daunting because it's really hard to find a local hunter safety class. But yes. Ron, I'll let you explain.
Yeah, so your options here are take a 4-hour class or a 12-hour class. It's pretty obvious which class you'd like to take. The 12-hour class does not get you your hunter safety at the end of that, so why bother, right? So here we are. Get your hunter safety. Now, there's some ways of doing that, you know. Like you said, Scott, you know, it's difficult to get in a class here in Colorado. It can finding availability is kind of the big issue. And then it's an 8-hour in-person thing. Now, they do have an option for like a hybrid class as well, but I think you're still end up in the classroom for 4 to 6 hours, and you have to do a live fire portion. Now, hunter education, hunter safety is reciprocal in all 50 states, and including Canada and Mexico. So if you have a hunter safety from out of state and you already have that, then you have hunter safety. All you need to do is verify that with the CPW. And you can do that very easily by emailing CPW. I can rattle this off, but I'm guessing most people aren't going to have a pen handy and ready to write this long email address down.
Right.
So you can email us and I'll send you the email address if you need. It is also listed on our website as a clickable link. Under the How to Purchase in Colorado banner. So you can go and take a free online hunter safety course through a number of states. Four of them that we believe are the best fit are Indiana, Louisiana, New Mexico, and South Dakota. These states offer it for free. It's about a six-hour course is what they guesstimated would take most people. Most people, and keep in mind that hunter safety classes are really kind of designed for young hunters who are just getting their hunter education. So these courses are really designed to be easily navigated by, 12 and 13-year-olds, young adults. And so they estimate 6 hours on these. I imagine most adults who have a pretty good understanding of firearm safety and general hunting knowledge could pass the class more quickly than that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, you'll see other websites out there advertising the hunter online hunter education, and they often charge a fee for you to access these states. But if you go direct to the state through their Department of Natural Resources or Parks and Wildlife, you can access the class for free through their direct link. These four states we highlighted are issue the certificate immediately upon completion of the course, which is nice because as soon as you have completed the course and they've emailed you your certificate or made the certificate downloadable, you can download that PDF, email it to Colorado Parks and Wildlife and ask to be verified in their system with your out-of-state hunter safety. Once that is complete, now you qualify for the four-hour class.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to complete online hunter safety from the comfort of your home in less than 6 hours, and now you qualify for the four-hour class, and you have your hunter safety. So when inevitably, if you are getting into firearms, inevitably somebody is going to invite you on an upland hunt, pheasant or dove or quail, or someone's going to invite you out to the goose blind or something like that, the duck blind, or on a big game hunt, and you'll be ready to go for that as well. So you're really, there's a much greater benefit to doing this way because you will end up with that hunter safety as well. And then now you kind of open that door.
Right. Again, Ryan Resch is with us. It's Bighorn Firearms, 2175 South Jasmine. Again, all this is on their website as well, which is
BighornFirearms.com. Yeah.
All right.
Right on the main page, you will see a banner, How to Purchase an SSF in Colorado. Click that link. It'll take you to a page with the full step-by-step graphic and clickable links for all these different websites that you'll need to access to complete the process.
And once that's verified with CPW, then you can find a class.
So, couple things.
Oh, sheriff.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to go to the sheriff.
Once you have verified your hunter education with CPW, you will need to go to their website and enroll in the firearm safety program.
Right.
Now, couple things here. If you haven't verified the hunter safety with CPW, when you go and enter that in during that enrollment process, things won't link up and your hunter safety will be unverified. And then you're going to have to take a step back, get that squared away, and then they'll refresh everything for you and get everything linked up in the CPW application for the safety program.
Okay.
Now, a couple other things to note there. You do not have to submit your application to the sheriff through your county sheriff. You can submit it to any county sheriff who'd be willing to accept a non-resident application. The big one that we're finding is being the most cooperative and helpful on top of it is Adams County. So if you're in the Denver metro area, Adams County has got the process dialed in. They're making it as easy as possible for people to get verified with their eligibility card. I have confirmed that they are still in all the cases that I've been made aware of, they're getting them approval same day. So Adams County, if you're in the metro area, is the way to go. They do charge an extra $50 for non-residents, but I believe that is still less expensive than what Denver is charging. And I don't know anybody who's actually been approved by Denver at this point. So we have had about a dozen people or so get through this program that we know. Some of them have done it with us. Some of them have done it on their own. And they have the card already. It's not that complicated. It is a little confusing. Now, during the enrollment process, you will be, when you start to set up your account, you put in all your information, your county sheriff will be listed for your application, but you can change that through a little drop down. So it will be pre-filled in with Denver County or Douglas County. You can click that and then select Adams County, and then you will Adams County will expect your application at that point. If you complete the whole application through the enrollment through CPW and you did not select Adams County, you will have to reach out to them to have them change it for you.
Okay.
So if you can do that when you're enrolling, that is the best case scenario. It'll keep things moving smoothly. once you've enrolled in the program, you need to get a background check. That is done through mytrueseal.com. There is a banner on their page specifically for the Colorado SB 25003 requirements. Click on that banner. It will give you the exact background check you need. It costs $30. It stinks that you got to spend money on that, but $30 really, you know, it's probably less than a tank of gas for most people, unless you're riding a motorcycle.
Exactly.
So mytrueseal.com is where you'll get that background check. Once your background check has come back and is cleared, you're going to print off your CPW application, your background check, your complete background check, including the attestation page, and then you will go to Adams County during their business hours that are posted on their website to submit the application. You'll just need to bring those two things, your ID, and some way to get them paid. They do accept credit cards for, I think, like a $6 fee or something like that. it's well worth it if you don't want to write a check. Just go down there. And for non-residents, it's about $156 total. That includes the CPW fee. And for county residents, I want to say it's like $105 or something.
Okay.
So once you've submitted to Adams County, you'll likely see an approval as long as there's nothing colorful on your background that concerns them at all within the same day. Once you have that approved eligibility card, now you can seek out a class to take your a place to take your 4-hour class. I would say Shooting Doors Buckley is a great spot to do that. I know they're offering the class regularly, so you can have this whole process complete in less than a week if you're motivated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And really, I mean, in depending on when you start the process and when Buckley offers the next class, I mean, you could have it done in a matter of days.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's really the process in a nutshell. I know it's a lot. The key here is that you need to put in an application and get approved before you can take the class. It's not like concealed carry where you take a class and then submit an application.
Exactly.
It's the exact opposite of that.
Right, right.
Time-wise, pretty similar to concealed carry. Cost-wise, pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
I would say all in, if you're not overpaying for a 4-hour class, I think most people are charging $100 or less. You're right around like $300.
Right.
So,
yep, that works. Again, Ryan Resch is with us, Bighorn Firearms. If you've got questions, come on by the store. Hey, got a great staff here. They'll fill you in on all this stuff. I know driving around and listening to all this, you're probably like, oh my God, that's a lot to go. But I promise you, once you see the steps break down and they walk you through it, it's good. And then once you get that card, that's good for 5 years.
Correct.
And then you would just have to do the 4 hour from then on out, I assume.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. Yeah, it's a 4 hour to renew. Right. So, yeah, that's it, 5 years. As soon as you have completed your course and your instructor has uploaded your pass grade into the system, within a couple minutes of that, you should see a proof of eligibility email from CPW.
You will the storm.
Yep, yep. You will need to present that. Honestly, having that email is the easiest way to do it, because we do have to verify on our end before completing a sale and transfer. But I think it's just three first last name when you completed the course, and I think you punch that into the interface there, and then we immediately get a response like green for go and red for no go. So.
Right. Now, Bighorn, they do offer some classes here for concealed carry right now. We're getting through this kind of back to school time and all that, but you will be having a fall and winter schedule coming out here relatively soon.
Yep. Yeah, we'll be working that out with our instructor here soon, and we're hoping to start offering the 2 hour refresher concealed carry, the 4 hour SSF class, and then the full 8 hour CCW class. So.
Right.
Hoping we'll have some classes posted here soon for the end of September and then through the end of the year.
Yeah. So. And if you find yourself with some extra guns lying around, you're not planning to use any more, you're still in the market to buy some nice guns.
Yeah, absolutely. We have been a little bit more selective for purchasing like onesies and twosies, but if you have a large gun collection, we're actively seeking those. Mid to high-end stuff is kind of like our kind of bread and butter right now. It's kind of where we like to operate, so that's highest interest to us. But you can always call or email first and let us know what exactly you got if you have that information. If you're not sure, just bring it in when you got some extra time and we'll take a look at it, and if it's not for us, we'll try to get you pointed in the right direction, because we're not, you know, the only show in town. So
sure.
And we do have good working relationships with a lot of the other shops in the vicinity. So
right yeah. As far as gunsmithing, big game season's upon us, and for folks need to come in, maybe get some scopes mounted, get some things going on. Now's the time to get it in.
Yep. Get your gun cleaned, get your scopes mounted, get it bore sighted so you can get out there and start putting some rounds on paper and make sure you're ready. Don't want to be last minute on that. That can be pretty frustrating. You know, if you have some special type of ammo that you've been shooting with that you particularly like, now's the time to start looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait till the week before your hunt to try to track down some hard to find ammo that's not regularly stocked in a lot of places. But yeah, we're fully outfitted here and ready to help you out with all your gunsmithing needs. We do still work with Sovereign Armory. They've relocated recently, but if you're looking for custom Cerakote and any sort of slide machining or any sort of really gun related machining, we still work with them, and we can get that to them. And he's still running pretty good turnarounds as well. 2 to 3 weeks is what he's quoting, but we see a lot of stuff back sooner than that. All the general gunsmith services are here in house. So yeah, gun cleaning, basic repairs, scope mounting, red dot mounting, you know, just diagnosing issues like failures to feed and, failure to eject, cycling issues, stuff like that. We do all that here.
Okay. So. Cool. All right. Hey, it's Bighorn Firearms again. They can walk you through step by step on all we just reviewed here today with Ryan. It's 2175 South Jasmine. What are your hours?
Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 6, and Saturday from 10 to 5.
All right. Good deal. So come on by and see them. Let them know you heard them here on Sportsman of Colorado, and we'd appreciate that. Hey, before we get out here today, Initiative 302, that was where we were gathering signatures for to get on the ballot, the constitutional right to hunt and fish in the state. We got the signatures we needed. There has been an amendment number assigned now. It is Amendment 84. You're going to be hearing a lot about that on the show, Protecting Colorado's Heritage. We're going to be having a lot of special guests over these next several weeks up to Election Day about this. So be on the lookout for Amendment 84. We got to get out and vote. We have to get 55% of the vote. It can't just be, you know, it wins by 36%. It's got to be 55% or more to be a constitutional right to hunt and fish. It's hard to think you got to vote for that.
I mean, it's the only way to do it now. We got to make sure that we're protected, and it has to be, you know, in the Constitution. So I think that was really an unbelievable thought with by whoever figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
Amen to them. And absolutely make sure you vote. This is not time to just kind of be lazy and hope everybody else is going to do the work.
Yep.
We've all got to be in it together to protect our rights here. And this is a big step in the right direction. Got to get this one passed.
Yeah, for sure. Ryan, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for being with us today for Sportsman of Colorado. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.